I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. When President Lyndon Johnson signed the Public Broadcasting Act some 37 years ago, he said then that television is still a young invention, but we have learned already that it has immense, even revolutionary, power to change, our lives. He went on to talk about the government agency that would distribute money from Congress to PBS, something called the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. He described public television this way. It will get part of its support from our government, but it will be carefully guarded from government or from party control. It will be free, and it will be independent, and it will belong to all of our people. Well, the people in office in Washington today say it doesn't belong to them. Their harshest critics look at PBS and call it anti-Bush and anti-business. Over the past month, there have been appointments and resignations and changes, all under the eye of Republican appointees and all designed to, in their words, address these questions of tone and balance. Now, some of these critics say PBS is biased, and that needs to be fixed. Well, what do you think? Do you agree with that? Do you think that adding conservative voices to the mix is the best way to achieve balance? And who should decide what goes on public television anyway? Should it be journalists, or should the elected politicians who oversee PBS have an influence over its programming? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're starting today with Karen Everhart. She is the senior editor of Current. It's the newspaper that covers public broadcasting. And Karen's been on this beat for the past 12 years. She's joining us from NPR's Washington studios. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us. Tell me what it is that started this latest argument over bias at PBS.
Well, it started in 2002 when PBS introduced a new program from Bill Moyers called Now with Bill Moyers. It was a weekly Friday night series that appeared in its primetime lineup. And Bill was on that show. He was a headliner on that show for, well, just until last December. Mm-hmm. At about midway through, David Brancaccio joined him as a co-host. But Bill basically created the show and led it for quite a long time. And a lot of his coverage was very hard-hitting investigative coverage of what was going on in Washington. He also delivered commentaries about various things that were of his concern to him, regarding the things that the Bush administration had on its agenda, the war in Iraq, media consolidation, and so on.
And in his role as a commentator, I mean, this is a fellow who was an assistant, I think, to President Johnson back in the days of the Broadcasting Act and back in the days when the Peace Corps was created. So his commentary has been pretty critical of this administration?
Well, yeah, he was really one of the first of, people who had served in the government to cross over into journalism. And he is a progressive, and he is outspoken about, the things that progressives in this country are concerned about. And he, when he wasn't on the air, he would, speak to liberal groups about, issues that concerned him and them.
Now, let's talk about Kenneth Tomlinson, because he's the current chairman of something called the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And he's been the one talking about Bill Moyers or criticizing him sort of most publicly, right?
Well, yes, he has, but really only recently as this whole issue has come out into broader news coverage. Mm-hmm. The CPB board itself in 2002 was critical of the Bill Moyers program. Without really directly pointing to Bill Moyers, Mr. Moyers had delivered a commentary after the 2002 midterm elections where he was really lambasted the Republican gains in Washington and the Republican agenda in a very provocative way. And members of Congress were outraged about it. And CPB board members at their very next public meeting spoke very forcefully about their objective to enforce and to revisit their obligations to deal with objectivity and balance in public television programming.
Now, sometime recently, Ken Tomlinson was key in getting a new program put into the schedule, something called the Journal Editorial Report, which is hosted by, I think, Paul Gigot from the Wall Street Editorial Board. Have I got that right, Karen?
Yes, that's correct. That show entered the schedule last September, right before the elections. It was under discussion for some time, and it was part of an effort that PBS and CPB undertook together to bring more diverse viewpoints into the schedule. They didn't say directly that they were looking to balance Bill Moyers. In fact, PBS officials would never say that themselves, mm-hmm. but that was seen as their objective in introducing the shows. There was one other program that PBS added called Tucker Carlson Unfiltered, and that is also a weekly show that began last January, and it's actually going to sunset. It was introduced last June, and it's actually going to go off the air this June because Tucker Carlson has a new job with MSNBC that he's not going to be able to do both programs.
Karen, we have other guests that are going to take us further into the editorial assessment of what's going on there, but before I go to them, I just want you to help me with one thing. I don't know how simple this is, but can you give me a kind of idiot's guide to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting on one side and PBS on the other side? I mean, who answers to who? Who makes the decisions about what's supposed to be on television?
Well, ideally, PBS and CPB work together on issues, in determining what kind of programs that CPB and PBS can jointly fund. CPB itself receives the federal appropriations every year that are allotted for public broadcasting. It's approaching about $400 million. Mm-hmm. That money is divided up between public television and public radio, and most of that money goes to public television. Most of it actually goes to public TV stations, but there is a pot of money that CPB invests in PBS programming, including a $22.5 million annual programming contract through which CPB money goes into signature PBS programs such as the NewsHour or Nova, the programs that people really, recognize
right.
as PBS programs.
And does CPB, because it gives that certain amount of money to PBS, have they had a historical role in saying this is the type of programming that should be on public television?
Well, these kind of conversations are often held behind closed doors, so I'm sure that they make their views known. But, I mean, CPB really only has say over the money that that it provides to PBS, and PBS has other sources of money to invest in programs like Now with Bill Moyers, which it funded, with its own money and also with what Bill Moyers was able to raise and bring to the table to carry out a weekly public affairs series.
All right, Karen, well, stay with us. I'm going to get back to you in just a couple of moments. I want to bring in my other guest for the hour. Christy Carpenter was on the board of directors for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting from 1998 to 2002, and she's joining us from New York City. Christy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And Tim Graham is director of media analysis at the Media Research Center. It's a conservative media watchdog group. He's joining us on the phone from Arlington, Virginia. Tim, thanks for being with us.
No problem.
Do you want to jump in here next in terms of just sort of giving us your own view of why conservatives are not happy with what they're seeing on PBS today?
Well, conservatives haven't been happy with PBS since the late 1960s.
Which is when it started.
Right. I mean, I think that, the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967 had this little clause in it about the system should seek balance and objectivity in all programming of a controversial nature. I think that most conservatives have seen that as a law that's never been observed. And certainly the Congress in 1992 rewrote that language into authorizing the CPB, and it's still being ignored. And I think that, they make these efforts every once in a while to great criticism from the liberal press. But, I mean, every once in a while they'll put on a show for three episodes or six episodes, or in Tucker Carlson's case, a year, and then the show goes away. But what we would say is that if you look at these signature programs, if you look at the Bill Moyers programs, whether it's Now or this regular series, he's really an omnipresent face on public television, and he's really the poster boy for liberal bias on PBS. But Frontline and a lot of these other programs, including Washington Week, don't have any place for conservatives on them. And I think that that is a persistent critique.
Boy, I've seen a number of Frontline docs that dealt with political subjects that I thought gave both sides of the story.
Well, you certainly would say that there are Frontline documentaries that were rough on both parties. Bill Moyers has done those. And the subject of that is from the left, and that is the critique is our democratic system is being undermined by big money. And let's attack both parties because they're too enthralled to capitalists. And so
that's the anti-business.
That doesn't please me. I don't see that as a balance. It may be a balanced show. It might not be favorable to Democrats, but it's still a leftist critique of our economic system.
Christy Carpenter, does PBS carry a persistent left bias in your view?
No, I don't think it does. I think that there is a wide range of views that one can get access to by watching some of the really excellent public affairs programs that are on PBS, Frontline, The Now program, Tucker Carlson's program, The News Hour every evening. I really think that there is a diverse range of opinion that comes through.
So what do you think is going on here then?
Well, I think that there are that there are people, certainly in the conservative movement in this country, that just are not comfortable with anything that critiques them in any way, or anything that news story that might put them in a less than favorable light in terms of positions that they've taken on.
Isn't there a certain sort of basic bit of patronage going on here, though, that when you're the party in power, you get to appoint people to boards that you want to appoint them to? I mean, can't you cut the Republicans that much slack for simply wanting to do that?
Well, of course. I mean, the CPB board on which I served is comprised of 9 members, and 5 of which come from the party that controls the White House, and 4 of which come from the opposition party.
We're going to talk more about just how the accusations of bias are flying back and forth over public television. It is, after all, funded in part by money that you give as taxes and money that you choose to give to public networks like that. We're interested in hearing from you about these accusations of bias and who should be making the decisions about what goes on PBS. We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection, all right, fans and critics of public television. Let's hear what you have to say about what you're watching on the news part of the programming. Do you see something that is biased, that is clearly taking a look at national affairs through a blue lens? We're at 1-800-423-8255. We'd like to hear from you. Tim Graham's with us. He's Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center. It's a conservative watchdog group. Christy Carpenter spent 4 years on the board of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting from 98 to 2002. She was appointed by President Clinton. And Karen Everhart is senior editor of Current. It's a newspaper specifically about public television and radio in this country. Karen, one of the things that's tossed around in the debate on both sides here is a series of public opinion polls that have been done specifically about public television. What do they tell us? What are people saying about what they're watching, at least as expressed in those polls?
Well, CPB commissioned 2 polls to find out whether the public discerned any liberal bias in public TV and public radio programs.
And how long ago was this?
There were 2 different polls, one in 2002 and one in 2003.
Yeah.
And they found that the majority of adults don't believe that there's a bias in public broadcasting programs. 48% of the people who participated found no liberal bias on PBS, and 38% found no bias on NPR. They said overall 50% of the people said that PBS's news and information programs is more trustworthy than other news networks as well. So those poll results are backed up also by a national Roper poll that PBS commissioned last year, in which 41% ranked PBS as the most trusted news source among all the other network broadcasters.
Does that when you say 41% put PBS at the top, does that mean it is significantly ahead of commercial broadcasters, the networks, or cable television?
Well, I can't drill down that far.
Okay.
That was the majority of people, you know, the largest majority ranked PBS the highest.
Christy, you were on the board for one of these polls. Can you take it any further for us?
No, but I think I don't know that I can get into more statistical depth.
No, that's fine. I'm just trying to figure out what they tell us is all.
Right. Well, I think that they very clearly make the point that the majority of Americans do not see the problem that some members of the conservative community claim is there, and that there is a very high level of trust in the information and news and public affairs programming that people receive from PBS.
Tim Graham, you disagree with this?
Well, I don't think you measure bias by taking a poll.
How do you measure it?
You measure it by watching the shows. I think this is the problem. I think that what's really at stake here is there are two visions of what the Corporation for Public Broadcasting needs to do. One says that the CPB is a heat shield. This has been the dominant ideology, that it's the role of the CPB to insulate PBS from charges of bias, to insulate it from congressional criticism, and to let PBS function with the quote-unquote editorial independence to do liberal bias as it pleases. There's another model that I think Mr. Tomlinson's trying to say, and that is to say, we at the CPB board ought to ensure that what the taxpayer is getting is an accountable public broadcasting system that makes some attempt to police itself and say, are we doing a good job of presenting both sides across our program schedule? That it's that view that's being treated here by the New York Times and others as some sort of conservative coup, when, you know, simply what they're trying to do is, let's reflect the kind of electoral results that we have here. For example, if 51% of the American people voted for George Bush, how come that they're sending their tax dollars to Washington so that Frontline can run him down? And we didn't see that in the Clinton years. The idea of a tough program on Frontline in the Clinton years was this program they did that suggested, why hasn't Clinton been liberal enough? That's the kind of frontlining programming we got in the Clinton years.
Let me go back, if I can, to the point that you were making earlier about what the role of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting Board is. Christy, you sat on that board. What Tim's saying is that the board should, in fact, be taking the results of the latest election and making sure that that is reflected in the editorial direction of what goes on PBS. Is that?
I think that's an extremely disturbing point of view. Public broadcasting news and information should not in any way be related to who is won the last election, period, the end. It should reflect the best effort to get at the most important stories of the day and to provide them in a very illuminating and enlightening way to the American public. There should be no consideration whatsoever given to who won the last election.
Let's hear from our callers on this, to Louisville, Kentucky, and Aretha's with us. Hi, Aretha.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, who do you think should be deciding what goes on public television?
The public.
And how does that, because you can look at this through two different ways. Tim Graham would say, and the public voted for President Bush, so the public voted for a more conservative. Do you buy that?
Well, he just said in a previous statement that he's not using polls to base his decisions on this. So basically his point is moot then. And, you know, what the public wants, what I have been a lifetime viewer of PBS and a 12-year listener of NPR and public radio. And the reason why I constantly turn to PBS is because my local media and a lot of the, you know, international news focuses primarily on a lot of fluff subjects. You know, there's a lot of entertainment news, Michael Jackson, and things of that nature, which mean nothing to regular people and have no impact, you know, on what's going on around us. And I was just at an event last night with Amy Goodman. She's the host of Democracy Now. Are you familiar with her?
Yes, I know Amy. I know the show.
Okay, and it was a packed house. It was over 1,000 people, and every seat was filled, and people were standing in the halls, in the auditorium. And the general consensus is, you know, PBS, you know, that it has been influenced, you know, by corporate media and by the government. And we felt that there was a lot of news that was lacking, period. And we really need an alternative to the corporate and government-controlled media. And I'm not seeing it unless I turn on PBS. And then I think I hear, you know, even on my local programs, from Kentucky we have KET, which is Kentucky Educational Television.
Let me, if I can, go to Tim Graham on this. Tim, you know Amy Goodman, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think what Aretha is saying is, in part, she doesn't think that there is enough of Amy Goodman's perspective on public radio and television. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that the Pacifica stations from WBAI in New York, WPFW here in Washington, the two stations they have in California, they have a station in Houston, those stations combined get something like $1 million a year from CPB and their community access grants. And those programs, I mean, have you ever tried to listen to those programs and ask does the conservative viewpoint represent it? I mean, that is the Pacifica system and the Democracy Now! Program is an extremely hardcore, left-wing, America-hating program. And so,
I'm not sure America hating is something that people would buy into on here. But you know what? You know, the point that it raises,
website,
which I find is really interesting, is if, as Aretha says, the public gets to decide what's on public radio and television, how do you measure what the public wants? Because everybody brings their own idea to the table. Tim, first to you, and then over to Christy on that.
Well, I think all I was trying to say was I don't think you refute the idea that PBS has a liberal bias by saying we went out to the public and said, don't you like PBS? Well, they're going to say, sure. They're going to see PBS as like, oh, sure, that's a nice, you know, but they don't watch it. You know, there's a lot of Americans.
Yeah, I would have to assume that people who say they find PBS more trustworthy than other stations would have some passing familiarity with what they're broadcasting, no?
But you don't have to. Did they do the poll and ask, do you watch PBS?
You know what? I'm going to take your point, Tim. I'm not. I can't dispute you. So we'll get lost here.
I don't know what
they asked. Go ahead, Christy.
Yeah. Karen,
go ahead. Sorry.
CPB actually went out and did some separate research just within the last year, where they took a representative sampling of public television viewers, and they asked them, very open-ended questions about their television habits, what they watched on PBS, what they watched on commercial TV. And they asked them whether they thought that PBS's programs were balanced. And people said yes. They thought that was one of the key attributes of public television's programs, that it is balanced and fair.
Well, I would expect that people who are regular viewers of public television to be favorable toward public television.
Now, the sample did include people that weren't regular viewers. It was like a broad swath of people who were represented of the public in general, not just PBS's core viewers.
And so, Christy Carpenter, again, it still doesn't resolve the problem that PBS programmers have to face. What do we put on? Who gets to influence what we put on? What does the public want? How does anyone, either at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting level or below that at the PBS programming level, decide, you know, this is what we do? Who makes those decisions?
Well, the people who are the producers and the programs that are on, and the journalists that are associated with telling the stories and making story selections. I mean, they have the microphone and the camera, and so it's they that determine. But I think it's important to consider that really public broadcasting is the only still largely the only locally owned media in this country. Each of the 356 licensees in the public television system is either a community organization or an educational institution. And the power ultimately does reside at the station level. And so I think it's important to keep that in mind. It's a very different kind of model than we have with ABC, CBS, and NBC.
1-800-423-8255. You have heard the accusations on radio and television and read about it in the newspaper. Conservative members of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting say it's time to redress the tone and balance of PBS, that it is too much skewed to the left. What do you think? To Amherst, New York, John's with us. John, I suspect I know what you're going to say.
Well, yes, you are, and I appreciate you taking my call, Dick. I have absolutely no problem with NPR, PBS necessarily. However, they don't admit their bias, but I personally think that we don't need it, simply because it is a throwback. It is not like people are not able to get, through the proliferation of any kind of media that they want, what they need without the government being sponsored.
Okay, so now, are you suggesting, John, that it be physically removed from the air or that it just be told to stand on its own with public support?
Well, it doesn't stand up to any kind of what do we need it for? Kind of what is it? What is the purpose of it?
You're not answering my question here, John. Should it be taken off the air or just taken, told that it's no longer going to get federal funding?
You know what? It's probably, Dick, I don't know everything. However, I would say unless they would admit to the fact that they are liberal, and if you look at what they have for their shorts, I mean, they have the BBC. The BBC has, the whatever they call it, okay, it is a disgrace to us conservatives, not only for the thing where they deal with the weapons of mass destruction, where they had to trumpet out this nutcase in order to dispel it, but just recently when they wired up a heckler at a conservative rally in Britain and tried to act like it was just news, when they have this guy front and center. Now, that's not conservative to me. That's liberal. That's dragging it from across the pond in order to do it. Now, and Bill Moyers, now this is really galling to me. Bill Moyers has made millions of dollars at the public largesse on his notoriety because of the public dole. And you know what? You know, at least the guy who runs an oil company gives us gasoline. Bill Moyers has given us nothing but anti-American drivel.
I'm going to stop you there, John, and just ask our listeners if you'd like to respond to that. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Should PBS be taken completely off the air? Has its time passed? I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Chrissy.
Dick, I would love to respond to the caller's remarks because I couldn't possibly disagree more. Public broadcasting is an absolutely essential part of today's media landscape. The American people need a robust and trustworthy alternative that is not beholden to any commercial interest, that's not compromised by any corporate or government agendas, and that's not driven by entertainment values. The kind of reporting that gives us nonstop Michael Jackson and Kobe Bryant reporting. We need an alternative that addresses us as citizens, not as consumers. And I could not possibly disagree more with his remarks about Bill Moyers, who's a highly esteemed journalist. One has only to look at his 30 Emmy Awards, his countless DuPont Columbia University Awards, his George Foster Peabody Awards to see just how highly regarded he is by his peers in the profession. He's a gifted storyteller. He has brought us an immense catalog of highly, highly valuable programming.
Let me, if I can, Christy, step in here and ask Tim, if Bill Moyers is, in fact, the sort of poster child, as you describe him, of what you don't like about PBS, if Bill Moyers was taken off PBS, would that satisfy yours or other people's concerns? Are we just talking about one person?
No, not at all. But I think the caller said something really interesting that needs to be underlined here, is Christie's trying to say that, you know, we need a PBS that's not compromised by corporations and their agendas and this sort of thing. Bill Moyers, as the caller pointed out, has made millions of dollars off PBS with PBS home video sales, with the sales of the offshoot books. I mean, he has an incredibly comfortable personal lifestyle. He is the super rich that he runs down on
well,
PBS.
And so if somebody were to say Bill O'Reilly does very well by his position on Fox TV because he does that as part of a private cable
why don't we as taxpayers say if we need to fund the system, if it's so vitally essential, why don't we have Bill Moyers kick back some of these millions of dollars he's making from being on our taxpayer-funded television to fund the system? I think the important thing, Dick, is that Karen can tell you that the Current newspaper ran this article in November of last year where Louis Barbash looked at 6 months of the Moyers program and saw that on most programs, Moyers never put anybody on who disagreed with the thrust of his attack. And I think that when you have...
Tell me something, though, Tim. Is that in any way balanced by a decision by the current leaders at CPB to put the Wall Street Journal program on? Is that the way you address that, or do you let neither one of them on?
No, I think it would be nice if the CPB would seek, just as a compromise alternative, as opposed to people like Amherst and like me who would say, defund the system, let it survive on its own. What they could do is say, let's try to get balance across the schedule. What we've had at CPB is a mentality of, we are not going to let Congress to tell us what to put on the schedule. We're going to leave it just as liberal as we like.
I'm going to stop you there because we have to take a short break and just a chance to remind our listeners this hour a conversation looking at the latest accusation that PBS is slanted too far to the left. In fact, so far to the left, say some of its critics, that it ought not to receive any money from the public purse. What do you think? Do you watch PBS? Do you think that it gives one side of the story or both sides of the story? Let's not just look back, but let's look ahead. Where should it be a year or 5 years from now? 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection, and you're invited to join our conversation this hour as we take a look at accusations that PBS is slanted too far to the left, that there's too much liberal bias in its programming, raising questions from supporters of the current administration as to whether or not it should continue to get federal funding. What do you think? We're at 1-800-423-8255. Karen Everhart, just quickly before we go back to our calls, the story that Tim was talking about where Current actually took a look at the content of the Moyers program, is there something you can add to that?
Well, no, he characterized it correctly. Louis Barbash did a freelance piece for us where he watched the show, and he found that, you know, overall, you know, Bill did not really encounter the opinions of people who disagreed with him in a lot of his reporting, in the majority of his reporting. But the one thing that distinguish Bill Moyers program was that he did bring on conservatives for interviews and to have conversations with them on a regular basis. Paul Jugot himself was a guest on Bill Moyers program. The Wall Street Journal editorial board's program, which is called Journal Editorial Report, they really don't bring on people from the opposite side of, you know, the ideological spectrum. They talk amongst themselves about, you know, the conservative agenda and issues that are, you know, on their minds.
All right. So, Connection listeners, how is it that you define fairness and balance? Let's go to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Pam's with us. Hi, Pam. What do you think?
Hey, good morning. I will try and be as clear as I can. I'm very wound up about this ever since I heard this advertised yesterday, so just bear with me if you can. To get to the point, I would be all for public radio and public television having more of a conservative viewpoint if likewise all the conservative news broadcasts and shows, Rush Limbaugh, even the religious 700 Club, anything like that, would likewise give us equal airtime on their shows.
Us being who there, Pam?
The liberals, whatever they want to call us.
Yeah.
I'm really sick of them griping when they don't get their way. They bully their way through everything. The way I see it right now, they pretty much run the country. The government, well, that speaks for itself. They just change the rules to fit what they want, and when they don't get their way, they don't like it. And I say right now, the Democrats, the liberals, whatever you want to call us, we've been pretty much pummeled and pushed into a corner. Why not let us have our little public radio, our little public television, and just leave it alone?
You're saying that public radio and public television is the place for the liberal point of view.
Well, you know, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. I really don't want to say that. But they've got their shows. Go watch them. I'm very supportive of public radio and public TV. I do believe it gives, you know, as best it can, both sides of the story. I don't enjoy watching Tucker Carlson on public television.
Let me just go to Tim Graham on this, if I can, Pam, because all you're saying, Tim, is that if, in fact, it is going to be public supported, then it has an obligation not to be, as Pam characterizes it, a place for liberal points of view, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that call, because I think that's basically the summation of the conservative complaint, is that it's a liberal toy, the liberal playground. And nobody tells them that they have to change the rules of the game. And CPB has not done that. Under Richard Carlson, Tucker Carlson's dad, he said, "I believe getting into the content would raise more problems than it solves." And it's that mentality that's been the long history of the CPB, of saying, we are not doing content studies. Richard Brookhiser proposed in the 1980s. That they hire somebody to do content studies, and everybody said, "Oh no, we can't have that." I don't remember CPB doing a content study during Ms. Carpenter's term, and this is why it's just widely controversial. The New York Times thinks it's a scandal that CPB would make the decision. You know what? Let's take a look at the on-air product and see whether it, in any way, shape, or form, lives up to the impression that it's supposed to have, and that is being a balanced point of view.
Christy, jump in here.
I'd like to jump in here because I think that there's a lot, this idea of it being a liberal playpen or whatever the metaphor was.
We'll
I think it's just off base. I mean, there is a long history of programs that represent conservative points of view on public television, from the McLaughlin Group to Peggy Noonan's program on values to Ben Wattenberg's think tank to Adam Smith's Money World, Wall Street Week, The National Desk featuring Laura Ingraham and Fred Barnes. I mean, on and on. So, I mean, this is not a fair characterization at all.
Dick, I mean, but the program she's citing, in many cases, Peggy Noonan on values lasted 3 weeks. National Desk didn't last a half a year. This is the whole
okay.
point.
Is and how long was National Desk
excuse me.
On? Yeah. Yes, and how long was Bill Buckley on the air?
That's right.
For many, many, many years.
Right. That I understand that. But he was the only conservative program in those years. He was the only one. In the midst of Bill Moyers' Journal and Washington Week and Frontline, Firing Line was the only conservative show on public broadcasting. And even on Buckley's show, he did have liberals on the show.
Let's hear from Karen Everhart for half a second here. Karen, you were trying to get in terms of trying to figure out what's on and how you measure it. Can you help us?
Well, back in 1992, when, Tim was saying earlier, Congress sort of reauthorized CPB with a stricter rules about objectivity and balance, CPB actually commissioned a whole bunch of programs that featured prominent conservatives, and a number of which were just cited, the program by Peggy Noonan,
right.
National Desk, which was produced by Lionel Chetwynd, who's a producer based in Los Angeles. And that show was a quarterly program that aired over several years.
Yeah.
Lionel recently, you know, stopped producing public affairs shows for PBS. I don't know if he has any new programs in the hopper. But now we have, you know, the Tucker Carlson show, the Journal Editorial Report, and there's another show that CPB commissioned for a pilot, and the status of it is somewhat unclear at this point. It was featuring the film critic Michael Medved.
1-800-423-8255. If you are a watcher of public television, we'd like to hear what your thoughts are on what you see and where it fits and does it need to be changed. Brookline, Massachusetts. David's with us. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. What do you think?
I am worried about the whole notion of balance and the slippery slope that it represents. There are some subjects that don't have two sides. For example, I'm guessing that pretty much 100% of PBS's biology shows among their science programming accept the theory of evolution, which is, after all, because evolution happened. Yet I know that some of these conservative critics view evolution as of a piece with these other forms of liberal bias, and if you conduct polls, about half of the country think that humans and dinosaurs live together. But that's just not true. So are we going to put balance in there, too?
Well, you tell me.
I hope the hell not, that's for sure, because I'd like my science programming to represent science, not the fictions of creationist ideologues.
Tim?
Well, this is, again, where you get into programs like NOVA that wants to suggest, and Race to Save the Planet, to go back into the oldies file, that suggests, well, everybody agrees that global warming is going to happen, therefore there's no need to have a debate. And I remember the producer WGBH saying, we don't see it as our role to have ping pong matches. It's our role to tell people what's going to happen. And so you have that patronizing idea that we represent science, and what we all need to do to represent science is ban your car and make sure you don't mow your lawn because global warming is coming. I just think that there's, you know,
I don't think any of these shows have suggested banning your car.
Well,
global warming is the vast consensus of the science authorities who do the work. The American Geophysical Union, the international reports on global warming, and so forth have all come to agreement on this.
No, that's not true. And my point to you is there is a sizable number of scientists who do not endorse that. They signed a declaration called the Leipzig Declaration, suggesting that global warming is not and certainly man-made global warming is not a scientific guarantee. But you won't see that viewpoint represented on PBS. You'll see on NOVA that one-sided, all the scientists agree viewpoint.
Let's see, Karen Everhart, can you help us here? Just in terms of, is the science programming on PBS a part of this debate as well, or is that something new? Where does it fit?
Well, NOVA did produce a series on evolution about 2 years ago that was controversial with people, you know, creationists who objected to it, and there was a controversy about that. Recently, the station KNME in Albuquerque pulled a program that dealt with intelligent design because, well, they said at the time that they had, it was a scheduling mistake when they put it in the schedule, but the local creationists in the local community were outraged by that decision and, you know, made quite a fuss about the decision to pull it. They called it censorship.
Well, I think that, in that particular thing, again, is you have to say that there are a number of scientists who are challenging that Darwinism in general matches up with science. There's a big sense of debate there. There's a great amount of intellectual ferment. And what PBS says is those people are all yahoos. We're not dealing with them. And that's what I'm saying is there is a closed-mindedness when it comes to conservative viewpoints, when it comes to PBS producers. I think Ms. Carpenter put that exactly right, is who makes the decisions in the PBS system are the producers and the stations of PBS. They do not make these decisions by taking a poll. They make these, and I'm not saying they have to program by poll, but I'm saying they have a great contempt for even those people they would consider the incorrect minority of Americans.
But your alternative to that, Tim, is to have the political wisdom coming down through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, right?
Yeah, I'm saying that what we need is if we're going to have a public broadcasting system that relies on taxpayer dollars, that relies on congressional oversight, like Congress oversees every other program, from the Pentagon to the Department of Health and Human Services, then we ought to have a system of congressional accountability where they live up to the law that the Congress passed saying we want balance and objectivity in a programming of a controversial nature.
You want any given senator to call up and say, I don't like that program, and then have the producers decide if it should go on or not, right?
No, but what I'm saying to you is, that, well, look, frankly, the members of Congress have never been that interested in this. What happens at appropriation time is
Ted Stevens is pretty interested in stories about drilling in northern Alaska.
Well, no, but the point is that what happens is that Democratic congressmen put their Ernie and Bert hand puppets on, as they did in 1995, and said, you're all out to assassinate Big Bird, and the Republicans all run away. It's not really one of these issues where a congressman's going to be able to call up Ken Tomlinson and tell him what to put on. What I'm saying to you is that if we're going to have a federally funded system, then it ought to have accountability to the federal taxpayer. If they want to have the liberal playpen, then take it off the federal dime and go have your liberal playpen.
I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. Durham, North Carolina. Guy's joining us. Hello. Is it Guy or Guy? I'm sorry.
It's Guy.
Guy, hi.
Hi. I'm all in favor of balance and accountability because it's a publicly supported enterprise, but it's also largely listener-supported, and I'm pulling that out of the context of listening to the radio fund drive. So shouldn't the listeners have some input, or shouldn't there be a reflection of the listeners' viewpoints and preferences in programming, which I suspect is probably a little bit more of a progressive nature.
Are you saying that when you fill out a pledge card for public television, you should check off where you are on evolution and where you are on weapons of mass destruction? Well, no, but I mean, how do you measure that?
I don't know if a checkoff would be the thing, but I think our public television station is pretty much in tune with the viewers. You can sort of listen to the number of people who come from our area on The Connection. I think you can get a sense for it. You could pull them if you wanted to. It would be a good way to assess what the contributors are interested in.
I suspect, Christy Carpenter, that you would say either going that route where the listeners weigh in on subjects, or going Tim's way where the politicians have a greater hand in overseeing programming. These are both pretty troublesome ways to try and run any kind of public broadcasting, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, at the extremes, clearly you don't want politicians in the role of deciding what programming is going to be. That's the absolute antithesis of what the American system is all about. The best, probably the greatest moments in the history of press have come when journalists have stood independent of the state and taken it on, whether you're talking about Watergate or the Pentagon Papers or any other many examples from the from our history. But nor do you want to turn it over to individuals. But I think that, you know, again, public broadcasting is a locally based system, and I think that, that local stations welcome input, ideas, suggestions that come from interested viewers, and I think the caller and should be encouraged to communicate his ideas.
Karen, I'm curious to know, when we look at it from a money perspective, though, if in fact one of the arguments from the conservative side is, if you want federal dollars, these are the rules that you're going to have to live by. PBS isn't in a great shape right now to say, thanks, keep your money, we'll just do it our way, are they?
No, they're not at all. They're having a lot of financial problems in public television because stations around the country have just built out infrastructure for digital broadcasting. They've invested a lot in equipment. They haven't really been able to invest in their program schedule to the extent that PBS needs them to. And it's a really difficult time for public TV to keep its many different programs viable and on the air and competitive in this, you know, increasingly, you know, competitive media environment with lots of new cable channels challenging their children's service as well as their primetime schedule.
So just how much of a problem is this seen by the people who are inside PBS, this idea that they're running out of money and the political masters who happen to be in office right now aren't particularly happy with the product? Are people trying to figure out what their future is?
Well, right now, I think people are very cautious about what lies ahead for them. PBS and CPB have just renegotiated a contract that deals with this $22.5 million programming grant. And PBS is revisiting its editorial guidelines that lay out, you know, how to deal with questions of fairness and accuracy and balance overall in their schedule or within programs. And CPB itself is going to have a chance to sort of say, review these guidelines and comment on them, and that is written into the contract. So how that plays out over the next few months is going to really determine, you know, whether this $22.5 million is at stake or whether CPB and PBS can agree on journalistic values.
Yeah, and I can bet there's a lot of journalists with public television who are looking at this and saying, boy, caution is not the place where we want to be right now if we want to remain relevant. Karen, I want to thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you.
Karen Everhart, senior editor of Current Newspaper. Christy Carpenter, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dick.
Christy is a former board member of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and Tim Graham, appreciate your being with us as well.
Thank you very much.
Tim's director of media analysis at the Media Research Center. It's a conservative watchdog group. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.